This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, I'm Nicola McLeod, and our question today is from Brandon Williams in Charlottetown.
I'm curious, when am I going to be able to have a beer in a park in Charlottetown? They can do it in Europe, and more cities in Canada are allowing it, so when are we going to be able to do that here?
Good question, Brandon. This came up 4 years ago when we were in early COVID times, back when we were leaving our groceries outside, wiping them down with bleach. The times are dark, but as nice weather rolls around, people start socializing outdoors or meeting up at public parks. Restaurants are even delivering to those public spaces. And some of those restaurants in Charlottetown start wondering, could we be delivering alcohol with these orders? That led to a headline on our CBC PEI website.
PEI reconsidering antiquated outdoor drinking laws.
Basically, Brandon saw that headline and wants to know what happened to that idea. Looking back at that story from 2020, the mayor of Charlottetown was bringing the idea forward after meeting with some of the downtown development groups. But 4 years later, you still can't have a drink in a public area like Victoria Park. And as I've been digging into this, I get the feeling it's not as simple as changing a bylaw. This goes deep into PEI's identity.
Our legislation doesn't permit that, so we'd need to make some changes to allow for consumption in public places or public parks, like Brandon asks.
That's Heather Rossiter. She's the Director of Corporate Affairs and Regulatory Services for the PEI Liquor Control Commission. Even though the minister responsible for the commission said they were looking at it back in 2020, no change was ever made.
If it's something that just impacts us and our license holders, that's one thing. But if it's something that impacts other parts of government, certainly we would consult with them. And oftentimes we have to consult with the public as well. If we've decided that there is going to be a legislative change of any kind, there's a process in place where we're looking at proposing that to government. And then we go with the direction of government to determine if the legislative changes will in fact be made. And then there's drafting of legislation and debate if necessary in the legislature. And a lot that goes into it.
So how do you take the kind of social pulse on what changes need to be made and when?
We try and you know, look at what's going on in the public domain. I'm in touch with jurisdictional peers across the country that do the same kind of work as I do. I think a change like this really has an impact in the communities.
One jurisdiction that does do this is in Montreal. They can drink in public parks as long as they have food. It seems there are other ways that the jurisdictions have approached it, but how do you think the kind of the culture of a place might weigh into that? Why Montreal and why Europe, but maybe not PEI?
That's a great question. I really don't know the answer to that. I mean, there's a lot involved when you consider even just beyond getting the legislation changed. You know, how do you manage those spaces? What are the resources like to do that? Do the municipalities or the authorities that look after those public spaces, do they need to engage more people to manage them? Or is that a responsibility of somebody else then with other kind of law enforcement type or regulatory type people? So yeah, great question, which I don't know the answer to.
So PEI is not considering legalizing drinking in public parks right now. Like Heather said, there would need to be someone asking for the change. Charlottetown was asking for it years ago, but when I reached out to the city, they said that idea was only a COVID-19 measure, and that once restaurants, bars, cafes, and other businesses were able to open and serve customers again, the change was no longer necessary. Even before the pandemic, Ontario made changes to the Liquor License and Control Act to allow municipalities to change bylaws to designate public places, like parks, for personal alcohol consumption. Last summer, Toronto ran a pilot in 27 parks. That's now been extended to the end of this month. So why somewhere like Toronto or Montreal, but not the island? Luckily, we know someone in Montreal we can ask, and she's used to these types of questions. Hello, Ainsley.
Hi, Nicola. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
How are things in Montreal today?
Pretty
good. That's Ainsley McClellan. She's the host of Good Question Montreal. So who better to ask about the culture and vibe of the city?
So in Montreal, in parks, you are allowed to drink as long as it is accompanying a meal. This is where it gets a little bit nebulous, though, because as far as I know, meal is not exactly defined in the rules. So, you know, you do sometimes see people who are maybe sharing a bag of chips. Does that count as a meal? So there are some questions around that. But by and large, what it means is that you can go have a picnic with your friends and have a few drinks while you're doing it. In some places where they have dedicated barbecue areas, you can have a barbecue and you can have a few drinks, and that is perfectly legal. It's not the same in every municipality in Quebec, and there are some that have more recently relaxed their rules, like in Laval, for example. You can now drink in parks, a certain number of parks, if you have a substantial meal, it says. So they're sort of trying to make this definition a little bit more
There has to be a carb, there has to be a protein, there has to be
exactly,
a vegetable.
A very well-balanced kind of thing. They're looking out for your nutrition in Laval. But no, essentially, you know, it varies a little bit from municipality to municipality. But in Montreal proper, by and large, if you want to go have a drink in the park with your friends, if you're having a meal, you can do it.
And so how do people take advantage of that when you're walking around Montreal? Like, are people doing it?
Absolutely. In the summer, it's a huge thing. And in particular, I have to say that during the pandemic, it was the way that people were socializing when it was that period of time when most of the indoor dining was closed. And so you saw all sorts of people who were taking advantage of this in all seasons, getting together, social distancing, and having a drink with friends because it was where they were able to do that. Of course, that raised some other problems like access to washrooms, which, just like a little shout out, we have an episode about that on Good Question Montreal, so you can check that out too. But no, it in general, it's something that people avail themselves of. I would say it's a big part of the culture, particularly the summer culture of Montreal.
And so can you describe a little bit what that culture is like in Montreal? It was one of the questions I put to a policy expert here asking, like, you know, what's the difference between PEI and Montreal? Why can they do it there and not here? And how our cultures differ in that way?
It's a good question. Not to make a pun on the name or anything, but I'm not sure if it's a, you know, it's a bit of a chicken and an egg thing. Is it allowed here because there's a bit of a more relaxed attitude about alcohol? The prevalence of bring your own wine places is quite common in Montreal as well, like restaurants where you can bring your own alcohol without corkage fees. That's also a part of the culture. So is there a sort of a broader acceptance to you know, the casual consumption of alcohol, particularly with a meal? Is that why? Or is it because these rules are allowed that it's become more a part of the tradition of people getting together, that, you know, that, you know, we suffer through long Montreal winters, and then when the summer comes, we make the most of the parks.
Breaking free.
Yeah, and I mean, there is definitely a part of Montreal that, you know, a lot of people may, you know, there's a lot of areas where housing is very dense. People might not have their own backyards. They may only have a small balcony. And so a lot of people do treat parks as their backyard, as a place where they get together with family, a place where they celebrate birthdays, you know, where they have barbecues with friends. So there could be something in that as well about how the parks are being used in Montreal as well.
Yeah, and you would think that type of convening of groups, it's good for social health, I would think.
Well, certainly, again, to come back to the pandemic question, I think that it was a necessary outlet for a lot of people. When you are, again, confined to mostly your home, you can't, you know, go out and meet people in restaurants or things like that, and you don't also have your own outdoor space, where do you go? How do you socialize with people? And if you accept that in certain circumstances, you know, consuming a drink or two is part of that social, you know, life that you have with your friends, where do you do that if you can't do it in a public space when those options are limited? But I have to say, like, for example, in Montreal, Montreal, there was a point during the pandemic where there were a couple of incidents of disorderly conduct, after one of the curfews that we had was lifted. And at the time, it was heading into a municipal election. And one of the candidates had, you know, on the heels of those incidents, raised the possibility of limiting drinking in parks and saying that you wouldn't be allowed to do it after 8 p.m., say. And the reaction, I have to say, from a lot of Montrealers was, no, we're not going that direction. This is part of, you know, what life is like here. And so that wasn't necessarily a proposal that got a lot of traction here. So it seems like it is something that is pretty embedded in the social culture of Montreal.
So that relaxed approach to public drinking is more or less embedded in the cultural fabric of some places like Montreal. But here on the island, not so much. Both Heather from the province and Ainsley from Good Question Montreal couldn't quite put their finger on the difference. But
that's an easy comparison. Quebec had the fewest years of prohibition in any Canadian province.
You heard her right. Prohibition. If we really want to get to the root of Brandon's question, the answer lies in the history and religion of PEI. Which brings me to Heidi McDonald. She is the Dean of Arts at UNB St. John, and she's a professor of history and politics. Among her research areas, the history of Atlantic Canada and the influence of religion. So Heidi is originally from O'Leary. I reached her by phone at her family's cottage in Mill River, and she says those lingering cultural attitudes towards alcohol don't surprise her.
Quebec was always the least interested in prohibition, more an acceptable part of culture, less associated with drunkenness and more associated with culture. And you could make the comparison in France, of course, as well, where it's more common for youth to drink with their families in a controlled setting. So culturally, Quebec is more Catholic. Catholics have more tolerance, a more cultural acceptance of alcohol, and the right to make an individual choice.
The temperance movement is big on the island in the late 1800s and early 1900s. That's the idea that alcohol should be banned entirely. The Catholics aren't as into it, but the Protestants are. And that has depth on PEI. Along with Baptists, Methodists, some Anglicans, they're all getting the message in church that alcohol is wrong. It's blame for societal ills. Alcohol is the cause of family violence, poverty, and poor health. That's taught in schools. And there's a fear that children would see people they know who are intoxicated, and that those intoxicated people, they'll see a breakdown in their relationship with religion. Heidi says the ideas behind prohibition are also driven more by the fact that we're an island, we're tight-knit and small, with defined borders.
When I say restrictive alcohol policy on PEI, what comes to mind for you?
I'd say that's an understatement. Historically, that's quite an understatement. Because PEI, by far, had the longest prohibition on alcohol compared to any other Canadian province. It lasted from 1900 to 1948. In comparison, other provinces mostly just had prohibition for the duration of the war, and that was the patriotic duty at the time.
How do you think this historically complicated relationship that islanders have had with alcohol, even if it's over 100 years ago, how might that linger with folks today?
First of all, I would say it's not 100 years ago because alcohol's only, well, it's close. 1948, prohibition is lifted in PEI. But don't forget, it continues to be restricted, like your word from the beginning. It's restricted even in 1948. The number of places that can sell liquor is restricted, and people have to buy a permit to buy liquor, and even tourists have to buy at the beginning, they have to buy a 25-cent permit, and that entitles them to only a certain amount of alcohol, like a case of beer a week for residents and non-residents. So it's not 100 years ago that prohibition ended. It's in our our grandparents would remember it. Well, my parents would remember it. It's within living memory. Why does it continue? That's a good question. And historians, we're taught not to speculate, to be careful. Maybe if I could connect the idea of parks historically to alcohol, and that's that parks are healthy places. They're especially for poor people who have less property and less room. They're intended to be healthy places of wholesome activity. So that may be also a holdover, that the park is a particular place that's just, it's counterintuitive to have alcohol in a park. Many people would consider the park the healthy place and a place for children.
While we're chatting, Heidi brings up a few points just as an Islander, namely PEI's big problem with drinking and driving and the very real fears around that. We also chat about preteens and teenagers drinking, which conjures images of field and beach parties, but also what we know about alcohol on young brains. Another thing that clicks for me while we're chatting, Prohibition ended in 1948, and executives from our present-day Liquor Control Commission have said much of our current act was written in 1947, so we're actually still operating from Prohibition-era policy.
It's a good point, and any time an act is opened, there's risk associated with changing it more than some people want, so there's an encouragement to keep it that way. PEI still has a restrictive policy compared to other provinces regarding alcohol. We don't sell liquor outside authorized places. As you know, it's a lot more available in many states, in many provinces. It's hard to picture PEI having gas stations that sell alcohol. It's the slippery slope fear, the slippery slope phenomena that allowing some alcohol will lead to a lot of alcohol. And I guess to be fair, there's evidence that alcohol is addictive. So it's not a crazy thing to think of it that way. The people who would like alcohol in parks, they're thinking of a book club meeting, perhaps, or a glass of wine. They're not thinking of obvious drunkenness, right? So it's the gap between those who picture alcohol as causing drunkenness and those who picture alcohol as just part of a meal, a relaxing afternoon.
So at least some of our island attitudes towards public drinking are rooted in history. Our mostly 77-year-old piece of legislation might be considered historical. Now, remember Heather from the province? She says there would be things to consider before they make a change around public drinking.
If people can still enjoy their public space the same way.
She says they're not planning an overhaul of the act during this legislative sitting, but it's on the radar. So, Brandon, thanks for the question. There might be a public consultation coming to a community center near you, but for now, drinking in a public park, it's still very much against the law. That's it for this week. We always want to hear your questions for future episodes. Those can go to goodquestionpei, all one word, at cbc.ca, or call our talkback line. That's 1-800-680-1898. And my weekly ask to you, our listeners, please follow the podcast wherever you are listening. For Good Question PEI, I'm Nicola McLeod. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode. See ya.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.